السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. محمد رسول الله، والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا، سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود، ذلك مثلهم في التوراة. ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار، وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أصحابي كالنجوم، بأيهم اقتديتم اهتديتم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and our mothers and sisters who may be listening or be streaming. In today's talk, we will discuss the noble companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of intensifying our respect and our love and our appreciation for the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba-i-Kiram, this word Arabic, Sahaba, comes from the word Suhba, Sahiba. Those individuals who had the good fortune of spending time in the company, in the suhbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a condition that they were believers, then they are regarded as the cream of the crop, as the most fortunate from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Furthermore, it is our belief in our aqeedah that the rank of the Sahaba-i-Kiram is far superior than the rank of the balance of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, the ulama-i-Kiram explained that the greatest wali of Allah, the person is a wali, he's a ghaus, he's a kutub, whatever titles he may be given. So the greatest wali of Allah cannot be equal to the rank of the lowest sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today a person takes a lot of pride and he regards it as a matter of privilege if he spent time in the company of a certain buzruk, certain sheikh, certain peer. He says, you know, I met that sheikh, I met that peer, I spent time in the company of certain sheikh al hadith, I'm a student of so and so individual, great scholar. And mashallah, indeed, to have these opportunities of spending time in the company of great personalities is definitely something which can be regarded as a feather in the cap, as an accolade, as an achievement. But what greater accolade and achievement than to be of those fortunate individuals that sat in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Mubarak nazar and gaze of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell upon them. One poet in Urdu says very beautifully, Jis qalb ki ahone, jis qalb ki ahone dil phunk diya laako, us qalb mein ya Allah kya aag lagi hogi. Today a person says, you know, that buzruk, that wali of Allah, his maqam, his status is so high that, you know, people sat in his majlis, they made tawbah, their lives changed, they got connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that that heart that was able to ignite the hearts of so many, what kind of fire must be burning in that heart? Then can we imagine then the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What kind of a heart Allah Ta'ala gave Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What kind of a nazar Allah Ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The person said that Shaykh put his tawajjuh on me. And I started experiencing something. Some kayfiyat I started experiencing. What about the nazar and the gaze of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his gaze fell on the Sahaba-i Kiram, can we imagine? And history bears testimony to this fact. That the Sahaba-i Kiram, those individuals whose hearts were hard, hard like rock if we may say, that they were prepared to bury their daughters alive. But yet, after coming into the suhbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their condition was such that their hearts became like gold. Now those same Sahaba who were prepared to bury their daughters alive were now fighting with one another to bring up the girls and to treat them with kindness and to treat them with love. This was the effect of the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these Sahaba, it is our belief and our aqidah that they hold a very high and auspicious rank in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence we are indebted to them and we have great respect and reverence for the Sahaba ikram within our hearts. Yes, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were normal human beings. They were not anbiya, they were not ma'soom, they were not sinless. However, ulama ikram even explained that when the Sahaba ikram committed a sin, then the kind of tawbah and repentance they made, it really became a lesson for the rest of the ummah. Some ulama ikram explained, it was as if the Sahaba ikram sacrificed themselves. They sacrificed their respect so that the rest of the ummah could learn valuable lessons. That if that Sahabi, for example, as an example, did not commit theft, then we would not have known how to deal with a scenario. If that Sahabi perhaps did not speak a lie, we would not have learned on how to deal with a situation of this nature. If a certain Sahabi did not commit a certain sin, then we would not have known that we individuals who commit sin from the morning till the night, what would our condition have been? How would we have learned how to, you know, make up for our weaknesses and make up for our sins? There is an incident of a certain Sahabiya in Madinatul Munawwara who had committed adultery. And when the law and the command of Allah Ta'ala was being, you know, instated upon her, and this was due to her zeal and her enthusiasm that, Ya Rasulullah, I want to be purified. I want to be purified. Whatever the command of Allah upon me, then it must be done. Because I am not prepared to face Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah with this sin. So purify me. And while she was being purified, then one Sahabi made a statement which was inappropriate regarding her. Because of the sin that she had committed, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam immediately reprimanded the Sahabi and said, لَقَدْ تَابَتْ تَوْبَةً لَوْ وُسِعَتْ بَيْنَ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ لَوَسِعَتْهُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That this Sahabiya has made such a repentance and such a tawbah that if her repentance is spread amongst the people of Madinatul Munawwara, it will forgive all of them, all of their sins. That was the level of sincerity of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence we as ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we call ourselves Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, those who follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith that a time will come when my ummah will be into various different groupings and sects, and all of them will go into the fire of Jahannam except one group. The Sahaba ikram asked the question, Ya Rasulullah, which group will this be? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi, those individuals who follow my way and the way of my companions, the way of my Sahaba ikram. Hence we as believers, we have great love for the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, great reverence and respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And any individual who shows disrespect or who harbors some sort of malice and hatred for the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we should look very, very deeply into our hearts and be very, very cautious and careful. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we hear in every single khutbah of on the day of Jum'ah, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah, Allah fi ashabi, that fear Allah when it comes to my companions. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is requesting that fear Allah when it comes to my companions. لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي. Do not make them a target of your abuse after my demise. That you take the companions and now you use them as a target of your abuse, a target of your mockery. Then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, من أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم. Whoever will love my companions, whoever will love my Sahaba, it is because he loves me, that is why he loves my companions. ومن أبغضهم, and whoever hates my companions, فببغضي أبغضهم, it is because he hates me, that is why he hates my companions. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Respected elders and brothers, we don't have the time, but if we study the lives of the Sahaba, and if we study the loyalty of the Sahaba, if we study the sacrifice of the Sahaba, if we study the way in which the Sahaba Ikram gave their lives, their property, their wealth, their children, in the defense of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then respected elders and brothers, if we have to spend the rest of our life trying to thank them, we will never do justice. What kind of sacrifices the Sahaba Ikram made, we cannot even understand. The woman companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a famous Sahabiya, Hazrat Sumaira radiallahu anha, where in the battle of Uhud, we know what had happened and how the tables had turned and so many Sahaba ikram lost their lives, and many of the people of Medina then came towards the outskirts to get information with regards to their near and dear ones. And as she was coming closer, one by one news was being sent to her, conveyed to her, that look, your father passed away, then it was said your brother passed away, then it was said your husband passed away, then it was said your son passed away, in this manner. But each and every time when this information was given to her, she said, but how is my Nabi? How is my Nabi? How is the Rasul of Allah? Until finally when it was said to her that the Nabi of Allah is fine, he is well, she then comes close to the conveyance of Rasulullah, and to this effect she says, O Nabi of Allah, knowing that you are safe and sound, it becomes easy for me to handle all this emotion and this stress, just knowing that you are safe and sound. Hazrat Khubayb ibn Adi radiallahu, so many incidents, just a few, to highlight the love and the loyalty of the Sahaba ikram. Hazrat Khubayb ibn Adi radiallahu anhu, who became a personification and an opportunity for the mushrikeen to take revenge for their losses in the battle of Badr. He was first amongst the first to be captured thereafter. And when he was captured, now they gathered together and they all took the opportunity now to avenge their anger. And they began to torture him and cut his body and mutilate his body whilst he was alive, piece by piece, cutting one limb at a time. In this condition, while he was bleeding profusely, a question was posed to him, that don't you wish that the Nabi of Allah was now here and you were safe and sound? In this condition, while he was bleeding and while he was being cut, this is not lip service, respected elders and brothers. This is a reflection of that deep-hearted love and attachment that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Wallahi, I take the qasam of Allah, I'm not even prepared to allow a thorn to prick the Nabi of Allah, and I must be safe and sound. This was the condition of Sahaba. They were prepared to sacrifice their lives. The Battle of Uhud was a typical example where some Sahaba were catching the arrows with their bare hands that were being shot towards the Mubarak jasad of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until one Sahabi, his entire hand became paralyzed because of catching all the arrows. Another Sahabi catching all the arrows in his chest, the thought crosses his mind that how dare I face my back to the Nabi of Allah. He then turns around and the arrows now goes into his back until finally he sacrifices in his entire life for Rasulullah. Some Sahaba, when they counted their bodies, over 60 wounds on the body. What was this? This was the deep-hearted love and loyalty that the Sahaba ikram had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are so many incidents of this nature. But if we go directly to the source, and that is the Quran and Majid, what does Allah Ta'ala say with regards to Sahaba ikram? One is, we'll say, you know, perhaps people have got a lot of emotions, and maybe that's why sometimes you'll find the Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahib rahmatullah used to always say that, you know, every mother regards her son to be the most handsome. So now when the son goes and puts a proposal, and now when it's turned down, then you find that the mother finds it very hard to accept. So in the same way, every murid regards his sheikh and his buzruk to be, you know, the best. There's no one greater than his sheikh. And sometimes there's extremism also that sets therein. So nevertheless, As Mu'ayyid Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, you come to my majlis and you'll find people from all different, all walks. Whether the person is from that khanka or the person is from that khanka. In fact, one time Aziz said, my khanka, the name is no name brand. There's no name brand. So anyone can feel comfortable. So there was no extremism. But nevertheless, it's natural that a person now sometimes, so someone may say that, you know, yola have excessive love for the Sahaba of Rasulullah SAW. There may be some extremism. Let us see what Allah Ta'ala Himself says. Allah Ta'ala declares in the Quran Sharif, where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ, that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah Ta'ala. In other verses, Allah Ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى, that Allah Ta'ala has granted a stamp their hearts with taqwa. Their hearts, there was a stamp of taqwa within their hearts. And in these verses that we quoted in the introduction, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Nabi of Allah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. We know the incident in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when this treaty was being signed. Then at that time, when they were writing this treaty, so the mushrikeen refused to write Muhammadur Rasulullah, that Muhammad was the Rasul of Allah. They said, no, we don't accept that you are the Rasul of Allah. So they then changed it and they said, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Of course, the Sahaba, amongst them Umar radiallahu anhu, they were extremely upset and angry that you are the Nabi of Allah and they have to write it. But the Nabi of Allah accepted. And he said, no, we are writing a treaty. But Allah Ta'ala, because they refused to accept that the Nabi of Allah, Muhammad was the Nabi of Allah, Allah Ta'ala incorporated in the Quran that till the day of Qiyamah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allah is declaring. So Muhammadur Rasulullah, and then Allah Ta'ala describes وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, those who are with, those who are the companions of the Rasul of Allah, what is their condition? أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, they are very firm when it comes to the disbelievers. Mufassirin explained, especially when it came to war, when it came to matters of deen, then they stood up in defense of the ahkam and the laws and injunctions of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were not prepared to compromise when it came to that. Of course, it does not mean we must be rude and we must not show good character and good akhlaq to the disbelievers. We have to also understand everything in context. We are living in a non-Muslim country. We are a minority. And therefore we have to show a certain amount of good akhlaq and good character. I recall very often in the morning after the Fajr Salah, we would take a walk with in the company of Hazrat Mu'ayyid Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi. Sometimes a non-Muslim would be passing by. And if he saw that we didn't say good morning to them, he would say that you don't have, show some good character, show some akhlaq. At least say good morning or hello, how are you, good morning. Show your good akhlaq and good character. So, to show some level of good character, this is not against the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, the condition of the Sahaba ikram, that whilst they were firm against the disbelievers, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, they had mercy, they had love for one another, there was compassion for each other, they loved one another. This is something missing in our community. Sometimes we are easy with the disbelievers, and when it comes to the Muslims, we're very hard and not willing to compromise and sending this one to Jahannam and that one to the deepest pit of Jahannam. Sometimes you feel the person, he gets enjoyment and he relishes dispatching as many people to the fire of Jahannam as possible. As if Allah Ta'ala had given this person some kind of contract that you need to, you know, recruit as many people to the fire of Jahannam as possible. Allah Ta'ala, the gardens of Jannah, vast. Allah Ta'ala's mercy overwhelms His anger. So nevertheless, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, they had love, they had mercy for one another. In fact, Mu'ayyid Sahib used to say that if we take a scenario in Madinatul Munawwara, that there were 100 families living in Madinatul Munawwara, and one family was going through some hardship, some difficulty, then there were 99 families there to support this person, to support this family. And if one family was going through some moments of enjoyment, some moments of happiness, there's a nikah in the family, a birth in the family, then there were 99 families to share in that happiness. They too were excited. We know what's our condition today. May Allah Ta'ala change it. That we also have this unity and love for one another. Nevertheless, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, then Allah Ta'ala describes the Sahaba Ikram. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا, you will see them prostrating before Allah Ta'ala, making ruku before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا, they are continuously seeking the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bounties of Allah ta'ala, the ridwan, the happiness of Allah ta'ala. This was a sign of their sincerity. That their goal was that Allah must be pleased with them. That their action should please Allah ta'ala. No ulterior motives. And then Allah ta'ala says, سِيْمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. That you will see the effects on their faces with due to the excessive prostration before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, the Mufassirin explained, it doesn't mean now a person must put some mark on the face. Where some people go down in sajda and they try and rub the head nicely on the floor. And someone will even put sandpaper there too, so that he can have a... So this is not necessary. In fact, there are many, many records of certain companions of the Nabi of Allah. There were no marks on their face whatsoever. What is being referred to is that effulgence that will come on the face. That when a person does a good deed, there is a special radiance, there is a nur that now radiates from the person's face. May Allah Ta'ala grant us those kind of hearts. We don't have them. But there are many incidents of this nature where the pious individuals would immediately perceive the piety of the next person. In fact, it is mentioned of Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu that one occasion a person was casting lustful glances on the street, and as he entered the majlis amongst many people, suddenly Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu's gaze fell on this person, and then he just made the statement that is, what is wrong? Ma balu aqwam? What is wrong with the people that they cast lustful glances in the street and then they sit down in our majalis? So this is a reprimand and rebuke for the person. So what was it? Allah Ta'ala had granted them that spiritual sight, and they could perceive that spirituality or non-spirituality of an individual. And there are many incidents of this nature. So سِيْمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. Allah Ta'ala says the example of the Sahaba-i-Kiram is mentioned in the Torah, it is mentioned in the Injil. This shows who the Sahaba-i-Kiram were. And then towards the end Allah Ta'ala says لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. That as the Sahaba-i-Kiram will gain strength and they will become more prominent and they will progress and they will become more honored in the eyes of people, what will happen? The disbelievers will become enraged. The disbelievers will become angry. That jealousy will intensify. Mufassirin explain that if you find a person harboring enmity and jealousy and hatred for the Sahaba-i-Kiram, this is a sign, we will not say the person is a kafir, but this is a sign that there is some level of disbelief or his iman is questionable. That the person's iman is questionable. How is it that you can love the Nabi of Allah and you will not love those people who were the first supporters and motivators of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So therefore, respected elders and brothers, we as the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we say as-sahabatu kulluhum adul, that the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were all of a very high level, a very high degree. They were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had the nazar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fell upon them. And therefore, we should be extremely cautious. And we should never ever utter any statement that will be disrespectful to the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we should fill our hearts with the love of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Create within our homes, within our children, pass on to them the love of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read to them the stories of the sacrifices of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the honesty of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the integrity and the loyalty of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the intelligence of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how Islam had spread due to the sacrifices of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with the love for the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the love of the fuqaha, the muhaddithin, those individuals, mashallah, our ulama in our community, those who sacrifice their lives for the upliftment of the deen of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with love and respect for them. And may Allah ta'ala unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on this point, someone mentioned something very beautiful, that even those individuals who try to humiliate or show disrespect to the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they forced to automatically praise Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even in that disrespect. Because if we take the name Muhammad, it means praiseworthy. So even when they're taking the name of Muhammad, automatically they're praising the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our love and our ishq for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ultimately increasing our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.